Hello, and welcome to this podcast. I'm your host, Roderick Anthony. Of course, I suppose I can say host. I am hosting it, and you are listening to this podcast. So thank you for coming and joining us today. Today, I'm going to be talking about some things that are near and dear to my heart. All of the things are necessarily not, or should I say, all of the things are not necessarily are going to be a part of Moroni saw me. I'm not going to make everything beholden specifically to that particular person and his particular influence on this podcast. However, I'm going to mostly do that because I think that what Moroni saw of us in our days is very important. Just in case you might not know, Moroni is an ancient American prophet who lived on the Americas, and he was given a panoramic view of the world, and he saw a lot of the wickedness that was going to happen. He also saw a lot of the good that was going to happen, and he was charged with the responsibility of taking the golden plates that were to become what we now call the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ. And he deposited that book, and he kept it safe until, as a resurrected being himself, he was charged to hand that book over to the prophet Joseph Smith, who translated it into English. Today, I want to talk about getting personal with our Christianity. There's a series of articles that I have written, and I wanted to commit them also to the verbal section, so to speak. For this podcast, I'm going to talk about some things that impressed me when I went to state conference and heard one of the leaders speaking about daily joggles. Inspiration comes from the simplest places, causing the most significant manifestations of life in the process. A few verses in the Epistle of James inspired a boy to pray, leading to the organization of an international church that continues to change lives for tens of millions. A dream by a new father led him to relocate his family, saving the life of the child who became the focus of a powerful religious movement, some 2 billion adherents strong. A mother reading to her daughter every night sparked her to create stories that charmed a generation. Small things, small stories, small acts all become the impetus for glorious movements in the lives of all of humanity. Those acts are not always pleasant or pretty, but with the right channel, they become more than anyone could have imagined. A story at a church meeting is one such small act, one that talks about how a daily jog can be a microcosm for the life of a saint. What is joggling? One of the leaders in my church stood to share his feelings about living a Christ-like life, how ordinary daily transactions can mirror life in actuality. Each day, this older gentleman would take to task a 5-mile run. As he described his workout, he later admitted his running was more akin to a jog and a waddle mixed together, equaling a joggle. It could have been a wog or a joddle, but joggle seemed to fit better. The point is, he was actively moving along to get his heart rate pumping. During his daily joggle, he viewed the temple. The Phoenix Temple, which is a fixture of faith in the lives of many people who follow Jesus Christ because of what it represents, love, eternity, faith, rest, peace, etc. To members of my church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, temples serve the purpose of solidifying our faith in Jesus Christ as we make covenants to follow his laws and assist others to do so. It is a place of freedom from the cares of the bustle of daily living. In his daily 5-mile adventure joggling, this leader decided to use the temple as his halfway point of his workout, 2-mile marker. Above the tree line on his way into his workout, he could see the statue of the angel Moroni, an ancient witness of Christ blowing a horn and beckoning him to rest from his journey for a spell. His muscles lurched him forward toward his goal as the steeple with the statue of Moroni weaved into view and out on his journey to the halfway point of his workout. Weary body and all, the leader thought of stopping before getting to the 2.5-mile marker. It was his workout. He could stop and rest at any point to catch his breath. Muscles ached a little, and It was not a race to get to the destination, just a workout. No. Plans before the workout were to stop at the halfway mark and rest at the temple with its manicured flora and architectural delights. The rest would be more than a breath-catching event, but a treat to see the beauty of the building. Like a lighthouse, the faith in Christ that inspired it. Standing bold against the gray. Suddenly, a dull pinch shocked his senses as his joggle turned into an arrhythmic dance. On his way to the temple, an insidious metal object punctured his foot, a nail. Nails are not supposed to be on the path to his destination, and definitely none in his feet. If a time to rest was warranted, this was one. Heck, this was reason enough to end the joggle altogether. No. Eyes stayed forward to get to the temple, like the place where he committed himself to Christ. Standing bold against the grave. Ignoring the pain and the extra strain on his body, he made it to the temple where he rested from the toil of his first part of his joggle. Did he check his foot for injury while there? No mention was made of it. The quiet serenity of the temple grounds rested his soul and his body for the next journey home to end his workout. Knowing the destination was to be home changed how difficult the journey would be for him. Leaving the temple rejuvenated for the last leg of the joggle, the leader pushed on without focusing on the weariness of his muscles, though 2 miles lay ahead of him. His rest gave him the strength to refocus on his goal, to complete a 5-mile run for the day. Slightly though, there would be no home-free run. It became more intense. Running the joggle itself was not intense, but what happened during the activity. For the first time in his Arizona life, he saw a rattlesnake on the joggle path. Coiled along the edge, his eyes spotted the deadly viper, almost jostling his spirit out of his body. After screaming like a little girl, he said, because one of my biggest fears are rattlesnakes, he found upon further investigation, the snake was dead. Though his fears were unwarranted, they were still very real as he exercised on. The experience threw him for a loop of distraction from his journey for a while, as the adrenaline in his veins resorted to regular level following the fright. Again, with the interrupting of the podcast, I'd just like to say that there is a book called Moroni Saw Me. This book is written by Roderick Anthony Johnson. Hey, that's me. I'm the one that's doing the podcast. I just want you to know that this book is about faith, it is about hope, and it is about a journey that leads to understanding and peace, trying to find a path to God, finding that path, and sharing that path with anyone who will listen. You can order your copy of Moroni Saw Me from Amazon. Just type in the words, Moroni Saw Me, that is Moroni, M-O-R-O-N-I, and then Saw Me. It will come up. You can order either a paperback copy or an ebook. Trust me, this book is a faith promoter. Now, we will return to our program, which is already in motion. That means you can make it. We can all make it together. Just because life is hard, just because things are difficult, does not mean that things have to be difficult and hard in our heads. We can work out our salvation as if it depends on us, but we can pray like it depends on God, because it does. There's nothing that we can do to earn our way into heaven, but there is something that we can do to qualify for the blessings that Christ has already earned. Our daily joggles are the things that happen to us on a day-to-day basis, things that we don't necessarily have control over, but we do have control over how we respond to each situation. On that joggle, that leader decided not to give up when the nail pierced his feet, or I should say foot. He continued on. I think of several reasons why that nail piercing his foot was a bad idea, especially me with my health issues. I would think that if a nail pierced my foot, I would probably try to get a tetanus shot. But he used that as an opportunity to endure the pain Obviously, nothing bad happened to him, so he was able to go forward. He used a respite at the temple to sit and enjoy the time for a moment. There are times in our lives where we're going to have places along the way that are going to just seem horrible, and we need a rest, and we should be able to enjoy it. And I really mean enjoy it. I mean, take the time to not allow what has happened in the past, like the nail stabbing the foot. Just take the time to enjoy the situation. Look at what's around and see the beauty of it. That's another way that Heavenly Father helps us to become sane if we're not, and to remain sane. Then on the way back to home, I guess you could say that is a home to our Heavenly Father, but on the way back home, he encountered some things that he wasn't expecting to encounter because he had made it to that special resting place. He was all ready to either walk the holy path, but he saw a snake. It's amazing what those snakes could be. I don't even want to get into a discussion about what the dead snake could be, a scare. That's not necessarily something that we should be focusing on, but we tend to do. We focus on the things that don't really have any effect on our lives, but we perceive that they have effect. And therefore, it causes an entire shift in our thinking. Stephen R. Covey called it a paradigm shift, even though in this situation, it would be one of those shifts that would be really negative and not one that I would want to have as a defining point in my life. But hey, sometimes those negative defining points are the ones that help us to focus on the positive ones. I think of Nephi in the Book of Mormon, who had this weird shift in his life when he was led by the Spirit of God to kill someone. What kind of an inspiration, what kind of a prophet would you have to be in order to get this inspiration and not think that it came from an alternative source of inspiration, if you know what I'm saying? He was able to use that shift in his life because never at any time had he taken a life of another person, but he was going to use this turning point in his life to show Heavenly Father how obedient he could be. And he did it. He did it so that we could have the Book of Mormon. He did it so that we would be able to look back on those scriptures and learn the things that we needed to learn. It helped a nation. It helps millions of people around the world. But yet he had to shift away from the values that he had become used to because of the new revelation that God had given to him. That is a whole other thing to even think about. Knowing that inspiration from God is telling you to do something that's different from the cultural norm, and the cultural norm being not taking people's lives, a lot of respect for Nephi. Lots of respect for Nephi because of his willingness to obey. Because I don't know if I had that same drive, but on his joggle, he was able to look at that rattlesnake, and it was a real rattlesnake. It was a real rattlesnake. And the rattlesnake was about him to take away the life of another person. And it wasn't dead. It wasn't a joke. There wasn't a ram in the thicket like for Abraham when he went to go sacrifice his son. There was nothing like that. The Lord said, this is what needs to be done. And he did it. On his path toward home, a Jack Daniels bottle jumped off the sidewalk and attacked him with full force. Jack Daniels, what are you doing here? You thought you were going to be able to miss me in life? Well, I'm here right now. I'm about to tell you I'm not going to let you pass. What do you mean? I don't have anything to do with you. I'm just on my job. Prepare yourself. Actually, he stepped on it. An empty bottle of liquor could have undone him if he had lost his balance on the thing while running. Frightened by a dead snake, ankle-twisting empty liquor bottles with an appetizer of iron in the form of a nail puncturing his running shoes, the leader did not let the events of the joggle stop his progress. Picking up old Jack Daniels' bottle off the ground, he put it off his path. As he turned the corner heading toward his home, an abandoned sleaze magazine was littered across the path, wow, chicka, blam, blam, with the pages strewn about. Nails, snakes, liquor, and porn. all on the run back home, he stopped and picked up those loose pages, stashing them in the bushes out of the way of potential tender eyes. Yes, he could have thrown them in the nearest trash can and avoid littering, but if someone found that sleaze in their trash, what problems would it cause in their home? Rather litter a bush than potentially disrupt a home. Summary of life. After his joggle, the leader related his workout to life in general for a saint. Many times we strive to get to the temple to make those covenants with Jesus Christ. We start with the good intention of going to church, temple, or meeting, only to step on a nail along the way that makes it hard to take that step. Some Sundays it is hard to get up and go to church. This week was hard and it seems better to lay in bed and relax and recoup for next week. However, those who know remember the peace that following God potentially provides, leading them to go on in faith to seek that blessing. Finding that respite, thinking that we have made it to a safe place after going to church, temple, meeting, and such, life continues. After we commit to God going on in faith, life seems to get more distracting due to the extra attempts of the devil to bring us down because of our journey. The more we follow Christ, the more we will be tempted to give up on Him. When times get rough, we see the nails in life that make committing seem like a hard thing and move past them. We see the dead rattlesnakes of life after our walk with Christ begins, only to find them to not be as threatening as we had thought. Just because we are married in the temple with eternal families does not mean that we are safe from that point. No, not until the joggle is complete and we see God face to face. Pain, suffering, fear, temptation, porn, addiction issues are all constant temptations that the adversary will seek ways to introduce into our lives on many levels on our daily joggles. We as saints, Christians, must recognize that accepting Christ is not the end of the journey. Being saved does not end our journey through life. We cannot ease through the rest of life without incident, Jesus did not. His journey grew more difficult from the time he entered his public ministry until he died. If we understand that our journey will continue to be a test until we get home to God, we will never falter off the path or our joggle when dead snakes appear, not even live ones. It is the point in our lives that we recognize God as our destination and fight the temptations the adversary will use from regular life to try and pull us down into despair in which he lives. Our journey may be hard sometimes, but there is always a way to peace along those hard times if we keep the destination as the focus of our happiness. Life begins when we make it through this test of mortality. The Lord wants us to live that celestial life now, as if we have it, because when we get to the end, we will be ready to continue where we left off as one of Jesus Christ's disciples. Then can he crown us joint heirs in the kingdom of God through his grace. Amen. This crowning event is something that we should all look forward to. It's something that we should all think as a part of our future lives yet waiting to occur. One of the most important things that I learned from that conference with that leader was that I can make it. And I respect him for that. And it's a hard thing. It shows shows the power that Nephi had in that decision. In case you don't know who Nephi is one of the foundational members who helped to produce what became the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ. He was pivotal in the record getting started in the first place, and he was the prophet that the Lord used to create the great nation that became the focus in which the gospel context, or the focus from which context the gospel was taught for the Book of Mormon, so that we can learn these things, because it was about keeping the Nephites, which is what they became to be known, his people, Nephi's people, keeping the Nephites righteous and following Jesus Christ. So that shift for him was great. He was akin to a Moses for his people because of the impact that he had on that society. On that joggle that the leader that I spoke about from the state conference talked about, he found other things on the road, things that he wouldn't expect to find. It was very strange that he found a abandoned sleaze magazine. That was very strange from the area that he lived in, that he walked along that path. I know that area personally because I drive that area very often, and I go around that area a lot to go to the temple myself and to go to church. So to see a sleaze magazine in that place, it was caught off guard. It's an indictment against our society to know that there is no place that we can go to get away from this filth. It is spoon-fed to us whether we want it or not. There's always a mistake that is going to be made where it will be placed in our path and the images are going to go into our brains and to suck out our innocence. And we're not going to be innocent. It's almost like Sodom and Gomorrah here. We're going to have to worry about these things, and we need to be able to focus on trying to stay pure. And so he did the best that he could and removed it from himself. The temptation to break the word wisdom, that's another thing that comes along. He removed it from his life. These things we remove from our lives, we have to face them. We have to realize that we're going to go through these things whether we want to or not. There is no way to insulate ourselves from this anymore in this society. We cannot be insular. We have to be out into the society. We have to be out where the people are. And we have to be the leaven that Jesus Christ wants to help the people of the world to become like him. That's our purpose as saints. This podcast has been one of exploration. It has been one of spiritual enlightenment to me. And I've been able to see how just the small things in life can take the little bit of righteousness that we have and expand it if we allow ourselves to be open to it. Instead of being afraid of the dead rattlesnake that we're going to face, whether we want to or not, we recognize that it's there and we take precautions to avoid, especially if the next one is not dead. So we know what to expect along the path. There are going to be ups and downs. There are going to be rock falls, and there are going to be waves. There are going to be difficulties in life. And as long as we recognize this and realize that when they do come, we may not experience them in a way that is so detrimental to our psychological health, that they will be psychologically taxing. But we are prepared for them, and we can use the help of the Lord along the way to get to a place where we can rest and we can recover for the next group, because life is about learning. We're not going to become like Father in heaven by sitting along the sidelines and just letting things happen and nothing ever happening to us. So we prepare ourselves and we do the right thing, and then we become the people who we want to become. So thank you for listening to my podcast. Hopefully, as these things go on, they will become better. Hopefully, I'll get some interviews. And hopefully, I'll get to get some more material that we would like to happen. If you would like, leave comments and let me know what it is that you would like for me to talk about. Because I come up with the things that I like to talk about, and I like to talk about the gospel. And sometimes I like to talk about politics. So on the next few podcasts, I'm going to do some exploring, and I'm going to talk about a bunch of different things. So we'll see how that works. Until next time.